What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and along with me is the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. And today we have a super exciting show in store for you.
Let me introduce you to Dr. Loretta Justin. She is an optometrist, private practice owner, and the founder of Optometry Divas. Welcome to the show, Dr. Justin.
Hey, guys. I'm so glad to finally be sitting with you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We are thrilled to have you. And one of the things we always ask our guests when they come on is we want to get to know you a little bit better. We want to go back to your past. And how did you decide that optometry was the profession for you?
Well, I have been in private practice since 2006. And I graduated from the New England College of Optometry in 2002. And to answer this question, Jen, I have to tell you a fairy tale story. Do you like fairy tales?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm going to have a lot of fairy tales to come to with a little girl coming to the world soon. So better get happy with them now.
This will be a good one that you can tell her. So once upon a time, there was a young prince who lived in a kingdom far, far away in Newark, New Jersey. And this young prince had a dream. And the dream was to drive a Mustang. He wanted to get it as he graduated high school because he was dating this girl and he wanted to take her out in this hot new car. So this young prince's parents had already made the money available to get this car. All he had to do was get his driver's license. And the day came for him to take his test, and he passed the test, and he had to go inside DMV and he had to do a vision test. When he did the vision test, he didn't pass. Now, he'd been wearing glasses all along, but for some reason, he couldn't see the letters even with his glasses. So the person at the vision at the DMV told him, just go see an eye doctor and they should be able to update your glasses and everything should be fine. And then you just come back and we'll be able to go through with the process. So he went to see an eye doctor. And when he got to see the eye doctor, it was a new doctor, not the one he's been seeing before. And the doctor told him, you know, it's no big deal. This happens all the time. All I have to do is check your glasses and we're going to get you going. But upon examining his eyes, the doctor discovered something that was going on in his retina and had him come back for multiple visits until they finally diagnosed him with Best's disease. Now, this young man never knew that anything was wrong, except his vision has always been blurry, but when that's how you're born, you don't know any different. So in the beginning of the story, I told you that this young man was dating a young lady. So now he had to tell this young lady about this new situation that he's dealing with. And you can imagine being young and dating a young girl and wanting to impress her. And all of a sudden you have to drop this big news on her. So this young lady, when she heard this story, she wasn't sure what she was supposed to do. And she went and spoke to her fairy godmother. And her fairy godmother told her that what is important to you, it is someone who can drive you or someone who can love you. And this young lady decided that it was more important for her to have someone who can love her. So she ended up marrying this guy, but the idea of his vision stuck with her and led her to a profession in optometry. And that young lady is me. So I ended up going to optometry school because I wanted to understand my husband's condition and what that meant and what that would mean for us and how I could help somebody who was in that situation. Unfortunately, as I learned more about his condition, I realized I couldn't help him, but it left me with a deep understanding of what it's like when someone cannot see. And that's the passion I bring to my office when I see my patients, because I know what it's like when they're -3 and their vision is blurry. And having always had clear vision myself, I know what it's like to be able to see clearly. So having both sides of this world, I think, is what makes me so passionate about it. So that's how I got started in optometry.
Wow. I mean, that's just very touching, very magical. I mean, right now I have goosebumps just from hearing that story. I mean, that just, wow. I'm I'm speechless, and that's odd for me to be speechless. I mean, Jen, are you getting the same feeling? Or, I mean, are you feeling this in your bones as well?
Yeah, so beautiful. And knowing from before we started recording, you were telling us about your three boys, and you guys obviously have had a really beautiful relationship bloom from that 16-year-old getting his driver's license for the first time. So I'm just so happy for you that you found love and a career.
Yeah, I know, right? I found love and a career in optometry at the same time. How awesome.
Well, one of the things that we mentioned at the top of the show that you've accomplished is you actually are a private practice owner. You're the founder of Millennium Eye Center in Florida. Tell us a little bit mm-hmm. about your journey to start your own practice.
Well, you know, starting a practice is very similar to giving birth to a baby and seeing that baby grow into a successful person. And the process is very humbling. There's a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of mishaps. But also, too, there's a lot of moments where you just feel so humbled and so grateful for the experience. When I started my practice in 2006, I had no experience. I didn't know anything about running a practice, and I started the practice cold. Now, I was trained as an optometrist, so I had my training to bring in. But other than my training, I had nothing else going for me other than my love for people. I just genuinely love and care for people. Those were the two things that I had going in private practice. But in terms of business and running a practice, I didn't know anything. So you guys can imagine, I made every mistake conceivable. I think I even invented some mistakes when I first started my practice, just because I really had no business training and I didn't know what to do and how to run the practice. I didn't know anything about the five pillars of business success. I didn't know about leadership, administration. I didn't know about operations, promotion, and sales. I didn't know anything about those. So I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't know about insurance and how they work. Honestly, I'm being honest with you guys. I thought when I opened my practice that I'm a doctor and I'm going to care for my patients and they're going to come see me. And once I do my eye exam and help them see, the insurance company is just going to pay me and it's just going to work like that. I really didn't know that it wasn't quite that simple. And they didn't quite do it that way. So I learned a lot of that hard way. So I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't know how to work with my vendors. And the biggest mistake I made in starting my practice is how to lead. I didn't know how to lead my team. Because of that, my turnover rate the first 6 years of my practice was 75%.
Wow.
It was terrible.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think many of us have worked at places where they had a really high staff turnover rate as well.
I didn't know how to lead. I didn't know how to lead my team. And I didn't know that my job was to be the leader of the practice and on top of being the doctor as well. So I made a lot of those mistakes. I can tell you one funny story that I remember. I have one afternoon, we're really busy seeing patients. And that was really, really, really in the early days where I didn't know that you needed a contract with the insurance company before you can see a patient. So I saw this young girl and her dad asked me, how much do I owe you? You know, they're closing out and checking out at the end. I said, well, while we were doing the exam, my assistant told me that we are actually not in network with your insurance company. So we're going to have to bill you for the exam. And he was so livid when I told him that. And he schooled me that day so much. And I was so embarrassed to check this beforehand, but we didn't check, you know, whether we were in the network. We didn't. I thought, I'm a good person. I'm a good doctor. If I care for people, I'll get paid. It didn't quite work like that. So I remember him just yelling and getting upset. And I told him, you know what? Never mind. Forget it. It was my mistake. You don't have to pay. You can go. And then he said, no. Now I can't leave. I got to stay because you did such a great job. I feel bad if I leave and I don't pay. And He schooled me so much that I learned from that day on that we better verify every patient.
That's a good life lesson to owning a practice.
Right, Jen? But no, Loretta, just like you, all of us experience some type of business issue whenever we come out of school. And the reason why is because we're not taught this information in school. Yeah. I mean, I wish they would really emphasize more of the business aspect of optometry. There are a lot of millennial doctors, optometry students that listen to this podcast and even some seasoned optometrists. I mean, what advice would you give them when it comes to business, especially when it comes to starting your business coming out of optometry school?
I would tell them, I can say it this way. If you take your child to the ocean, a child doesn't know the difference between a shark and a fish. A young child really don't know. You need an adult to kind of guide you when you go through to an unfamiliar environment. If someone is thinking about starting a practice, I would tell them to find somebody who's done it successfully and have that person coach them, guide them through the process, because success leaves clues and there is no reason to reinvent the wheel. So I would say, don't do what I did. Definitely go ahead and find somebody. There are many, many consulting groups. There are many, many successful optometrists around the country or in your area. I would look for someone and ask them to mentor you or join their program, because it will save you money. And most importantly, it will save you time.
I think you just told us another really good fairy tale, though, where like everything possible could go wrong. And somehow you still had a successful practice at the end of the day. You just had a lot of mistakes to get there.
Well, you know, Jen, the biggest realization, it hit me one day that the biggest problem I had, me personally, in my practice, it wasn't the numbers per se. It wasn't the fact that I didn't really have good systems. My biggest problem was my mindset. I didn't have the right mindset. I didn't really understand the mindset for business. And once I realized that, then I knew what I needed to do. And once I did that, thing changed.
Where did you get your business education and training?
The School of Hard Knocks, girl. I do a lot of reading. I believe readers are leaders, so I read a lot. I have had multiple business coaches that I have hired and spent thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars to learn from people who are very wealthy and who are very successful. They have not all been in the optical industry. I've had business coaches from various different industries because I wanted to understand how business worked in general. And that's kind of how I learned along the way.
Wow. I love that concept of really reaching out to business coaches, but not just in optometry or the eye care world, but also outside of our world. That makes a world of difference just to get some fresh thoughts. And, you know, everyone does business a little differently, and it may be something that you can implement into your practice, even if it's not within our own industry. You clearly are a businesswoman. I mean, recently I've seen all over the internet, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, a group known as Optometry Divas. Could you tell us a little bit about the vision of Optometry Divas and how you came up with the organization as well?
Wow, I could talk about Optometry Divas all day long because I am so passionate about it. Well, Optometry Divas basically have one mission, is to empower, connect, and promote the success of women ODs. That's what we want to do. And it began really through my story. As I told you, I have three children. And my third son was born the first year when I opened my practice. I let you do that math. So I had, when first year of practice, I had three children under four, and I was running a private practice. I was working 6 days a week. I was seeing close to 40 patients a day because I was in the wrong insurance plans. And I was exhausted and tired and overwhelmed. Now, because I went to school in New England, in Massachusetts, here in Florida, I didn't know anybody. I didn't really have any connections because this was not my area. I was still getting to know people. So I felt very alone and very isolated. And one day I came home, my oldest son, this is a few years later down the road, he was doing a project, and the project was due the next day. And I had one of those days, just, you know, when you have one of those days at work where every patient is going to go blind if you don't make a referral right now. Nobody's glasses work. All first time progressives are coming back saying they're going to get into a car accident because these glasses suck. So it was one of those days. And I'm tired and I get home. And then my son was trying to scramble and put this project together. And I said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in bed. He said, no, I have a project due tomorrow and I'm working on it. He was in fifth grade at the time. And I said to him, well, why didn't you tell me about this? I don't know about this project. And he said to me, well, Mom, you're so busy. I don't think you have time for us. I didn't want to bother you. When he said those words to me, my world just shattered because, you know, as a mom, I love my kids and I want to be there for them. And two of my children are also in the autism spectrum disorder. So I just, at that moment, I felt so overwhelmed, so tired, so stressed out. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know who to talk to. And I thought, wonder if there's anybody else out there like me. I can't be the only person who feel like everything is just so much. I don't know how to juggle all of it. What if there was a place where I could go, where I could talk to somebody who can relate to me, not just on a personal level, but on a professional level as well, and understand what I'm going through as a woman, but also as an optometrist. And that's where the idea came from. It was from that really, really difficult moment in my life where I had to make some serious changes in my life and identify what were my core values, identify what was my focus, what was my mission, what was my vision, what I wanted to do. And after having that moment, I contacted a friend and I launched the first meeting just so I could see who would come to something like that. And we had four people that came, and that was in 2015. And then it's been 3 years. Originally it was a different name. We recently changed to Optometry Divas last year. And it's been 3 years and it's just grown. And the women like it. They enjoy the experience. They enjoy the opportunity to come into a place where you are safe, where there's no judgment, and where people understand what you're going through. And the biggest thing I hear when I go to different meetings is, I just realized I'm not alone. I thought I was the only person going through this, and listening to her story, I just now know I'm not alone, and that encourages me. That's what Optometry Divas is all about. That's my mission, and I'm very passionate about it.
So let's dive into this a little deeper. I know recently you just had a meeting in New Jersey with Christy Nguyen. And
yeah.
I always see you ladies together and you're always having a good time. I've seen pictures online. I've seen you in person. And just kind of walk us through what the typical meeting is like from top to bottom.
So all of our meetings are continuing education meetings. So when you come in, there is a continuing education lecture that is given throughout the meeting. And when you first come in, there is a meet and greet where we, you know, kind of have a cocktail hour and talk and we meet everybody. And then we have some games that I do throughout the meeting that allows people to get to know each other or have really, really silly time of fun. Because I know I'm dealing with women who do a lot and who are always stressed out. So I look for opportunities to create fun where they could just laugh and relax and have a good time. So after we have a little bit of fun, then we would do our lecture. And after our lecture, we would have some more fun activities. And then we would talk about the topic of that particular day. One of our signature meetings that we do is Think Pink. And last year, when we did it in October, we had three survivors in our community who were ODs that came and talked to us about their experience. And we just all sat there and had a big conversation about it. And there was at least 50 people in the room, but we all got to talk and to listen to what somebody else was going through. So when you come to a meeting in Optometry Divas, not only are you getting the continuing education so you can get educated and be empowered as a professional, but you get that connection and that opportunity to learn from somebody else who's either where you are right now in life, have been where you're going to, or is coming to where you are right now. So that creates such a great and wonderful atmosphere that I myself like to go just so I can be in the middle of that. So that's what we're bringing. And our goal is to, what our envision is to create a chapter of Optometry Divas in every major city in the United States and the world. I want to create that opportunity for women who are in my situation where I was to have a place they can go to when they need it.
What I love so much about what you're doing is it's the authenticity of it, because you've created a safe space where it's empowering to share the messy, the difficult, the struggles that are happening in our lives as women optometrists. And yeah. I feel like everywhere else, it's true, like for you to feel successful, you need to be like the best version of yourself at work, in the office. You have to be the best doctor. When you're on social media, you have to be like this amazing homemaker and chef and everything else. Like you live this picture perfect life, right? Like each aspect of the place that we share ourselves, I feel like is more and more pressure to be at this certain standard of perfection. And everything that you just shared was like, let's throw that out the window and let's just be our real selves and talk about the real hardships that we're facing. Those gut-wrenching moments when our kids look at us and tell us we're not there for them, when our husbands or our partners look for us and tell us that we're not living up to what they need from us, and talk through that, because that's happening to every single one of us.
Yeah, it is. And it's a reality. It's a thing that we all deal with. And that was the eye opener for me, that every single one of us is going through this, because we are all in that similar place in life where we go through things like that. And that's so important to create that place. And I'm just so passionate about it, because I believe it will make a difference in the lives of the women that come, and they make a difference in my life, impact my life too, because I'm in that environment, it allows me to be honest. It allows me to be vulnerable, a word that I've recently started to get to understand and appreciate, a word I did not like at all. But I understand in a safe environment, it is really good to be able to do that, because it takes that pressure off. And we shouldn't be living with that pressure. There's so much more life out there where we don't have to be perfect. Somebody sent me a text today. She said that I'll think of it in a minute, but we can just have flaws and still be beautiful.
Well, you're actually celebrating what makes you beautiful is the flaws. Like what makes you divas is the struggles that you're living with, this trial by fire that is your everyday. And you decide each day you're going to wake up and do it again. And that's what we're celebrating.
Yeah, it's true. And, the word was flossom. I am flossom.
I've never heard that before. Daryl, have you heard of that?
It was Chrissy. Chrissy said that to me. She said, you're flossom today. I'm like, yeah, I like it. I am flossom.
Okay. I get it. The word flaw and then awesome, flossom, combination of both. I see that. I like that. You know, the only thing that I'm not a big fan of this group is that I can't be a part of it. I know it's only for divas, and being that I'm a man, I don't have access to it. So I'm upset that I can't join you ladies. I want to have fun.
If you hang in there, I think we may have a solution for you down the road.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, why don't we talk about, since that seems like a perfect segue, what are your plans for this year and beyond when it comes to Optometry Divas?
So this year, we are visiting different cities that I've made connections with, people who told me, we would love to have something like this in our town. And we're going to 6 different cities around the country. We have gone to Miami, New Jersey, Atlanta. We're going to go to Houston and Tampa, and I believe Jacksonville. And so that way we can create different chapters of Optometry Divas. And when I come there, I share basically the same story that I share with you. I tell them my story, and I tell them the vision, I tell them what we want to do, and I ask if somebody wants to be an ambassador and create this experience here. And to my surprise, there are always a lot of people who are excited to do it and want to be part of it. So it makes me excited to do that this year. And also this year, we launched our first mastermind group, which is something I'm so excited about. The mastermind group basically bring 10 women together. And in that environment, we can go a lot deeper and talking about creating the right mindset, having understanding your beliefs, your belief systems, your limited beliefs, your core values, understanding what's your mission, your vision, your purpose. Because I firmly believe, Jen, that your business, your profession will not go further than your mindset. So whatever it is you do on the outside is going to be limited by who you are on the inside. If you can grow that person on the inside, it removes a lot of barriers for you on the outside. And then that just can make your business grow. It can make your family better. It makes everything better. And so I'm very excited about that as well.
That is great. Knowing that you have all these different pockets around the country and you just started this up 3 years ago is extremely successful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just trying to catch up with you guys. You guys, I admire what you do. And I just think so highly of the two of you and what you do for the profession and also your authenticity in what you do. I'm going to steal that word again and use it for you guys. So I appreciate you. I follow what you do. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
And I think that's one of the reasons why Jen and I just naturally connected with you, because we're all about authentic dialogue. You know, if it's not real, if it doesn't come from the heart, we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't care if you're a big sponsor and you're trying to pay us some money. We like to create authentic dialogue. And I think when you have authentic dialogue and it's real and it comes from the heart, you know, it really makes things excel. I mean, whether it's on a business tip, whether it's on a personal level, whether it's on a relationship level. So we like to keep it real over here. We greatly appreciate you doing the same.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so true. And Daryl, just so you know, we do have some men that come to our meetings, but I always do tell them they come at their own risks, because I may just have a red pump your size.
Daryl's been in skinny jeans before, so.
Hey, now, I'm not going to put on any pumps, but my lady does love a nice pair of shoes. So if they're nice, I'll take them and give them to her. And yes, Jen, I did wear some skinny jeans, but that was for a show, so don't play me, all right?
Yeah, the fashion show.
So, Loretta, for those that are interested in learning more about your movement or just wanting to reach out and talk to you, what's the best email, contact information, social media handle for them to connect with
you? The best way to connect with me is to go to optometrydivas.com. You can email me directly from there, or you can email me at info@optometrydivas.com. We also have a Facebook group called Optometry Divas. If you are a woman OD, so you have to be a woman and you have to be an optometrist, you can join this Facebook group and join us there and join the conversation, basically, in the Facebook group there. So those are three ways you can reach me.
Thank you again so much for your time and your enthusiasm and everything you're doing for this profession. I know all of us are eager to see what happens.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate being here with you. Thank you for giving me the time. I am honored to be in this podcast today.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.